Our theme verse, let's read this together before we move on. As I said, God wants to do new things in our church, and today we're going to talk about this for a little bit, and we want to spend some time with the Lord, and I see the clock, so let's get through this. Let's read this together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. As we look at this passage, listen, as I spoke a couple of weeks ago, we talked about potential. Okay, we talked about the last part, really, that God wants to work in your life. I want God to hear from heaven. I want Him to hear your prayers. I want Him to offer forgiveness for you and your family. I want Him to bring restoration into your life. Even more importantly than me wanting any of that is God wanting to do that for you. Okay? God wants to hear your prayers. God wants to forgive you of your sins. And God wants to restore your land, bring restoration. Remember, as I talked the other week about that, their land was very important. They were an agricultural society. Your land is everything, right? If you're a farmer, you need land, don't you? Land would be your inheritance that you pass down to your children. Land is a whole lot of stuff. The Lord wants to bring restoration into your life, and it can encompass jobs, it can encompass financial stuff, it can encompass family relationships. God is a restoring God, amen? And He wants to do those things, okay? Now, here's the deal. Here in this verse, as you see, we have four things, okay? We have humble themselves. We talked about that last week. We need humility, okay? Prayer, we need to seek God. We talked about that the week before because it was the week of prayer. Next week, we're going to talk about the need to return from our wicked ways, okay? Now, to be honest, I see a list of really an order here. That when we humble ourselves, that should be like the first thing we do. And then we pray. And through that, we get a desire to really seek God. Do you see that? There's like a list here. And after we've humbled ourselves, and then we pray, and then we begin to seek God and hunger after Him, then our hearts are changed and we turn from our wicked ways. Do you see that? Okay? Very important for you to see that. Here's the problem, okay? Today we're going to look at the third one, seeking His face. And to be honest with you, this is where religious people miss it. Okay? And if you're religious, this is perhaps where you've missed it. Because we can do the other three, and we can think we're doing a good job, and God doesn't hear our prayers. God does not offer forgiveness, and God does not work in our life and bring restoration. Because we're religious, we miss the whole point. What am I talking about? We can humble ourselves. There are people who humble themselves all the time. That maybe they think they're total garbage, and they hate themselves. Well, that's not really humility, is it? That's a self-abuse, right? And it actually can be self-abuse. Some people cut themselves. A lot of teenagers cut themselves because they hate themselves. They choke themselves. They try and get relief from pain in ways like that. If you're a parent, be careful because your kids are at school and they probably have friends who are cutters who do that to relieve pain and stuff. Be careful. Be careful. Love your children. But be careful of what's happening, who's influencing them. Be careful. Hating yourself and inflicting injury upon yourself is not humility. Humility is realizing who we are and who God is, right? Humility is honesty. God is God, I'm not God, I need God, okay? It's humility. prayer, we need to seek Him. But people can have humility. People can actually pray and do religious prayer things. That happens all the time, doesn't it? People can stop sinning. Happens all the time. You can even be a Muslim and do these things, can't you? You can be a Hindu and be humble and spend time in prayer. For Islam, you face Mecca, I think it's 5 times a day. And you pray on your knees. Recently, I saw a guy do this. It was, what time was it? Around 6 a.m.? It might have been 7, something like that. I know it was at a time that he should have prayed, and he knew what time it was. Yeah, does it? And he sat down, and he faced east, and he prayed. I mean, I actually saw that at Wawa, too, not long ago, where people got out of their car. They were at Wawa, and they were praying. And I think their dedication puts ours to shame, because we go to a restaurant, and we don't want anybody to see us even say, "Lord, bless this food." Right? And they're getting out of their car at Malaga Wawa on the sidewalk. It was packed with people praying. But we can be very religious and be humble, pray, and try to stop sinning. But this is what we can't do. Seek the face of Almighty God and be in any other religion. Do you understand? To seek the face of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. That draws us back to being real. To me, that's the thing that takes us from religion to relationship. Do you see that today? We're going to look at Jacob, Genesis chapter 32, verse 22, Genesis, first book of the Bible. And Jacob actually at this point was a man who came from a religious background who didn't really love God so much. His grandfather, right, loved God. His father Abraham loved God. His dad, great man of faith. Jacob, not so much. Jacob heard the stories. He grew up in a religious house. And to be honest with you, he didn't have this overwhelming passion for God at this point in the story. But Jacob was a man who ripped off his brother, ran away so his brother Esau didn't kick his behind and kill him, to be honest with you. Years later, comes back. And before he gets ready to go home, still scared to death that his brother is going to kill him because he ripped him off so many years ago. Let's see him here at Genesis 32, verse 22. It says, "During the night, Jacob got up and took his 2 wives, his 2 servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all of his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp." Okay, here's the thing. He had a little bit of a, I don't know, I'm thinking coward streak. Because his brother's going to come and kill him, and he takes his wife and kids and everything he owns and puts them on the other side of the river closer to his brother, and he stays in the back thinking, "Man, maybe my brother will just rob all my stuff or kill all my family and leave me alone and I'll be okay." Okay? I don't know. I'm not thinking I would do that. But anyway, look at his heart a little bit. Verse 24, "This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he could not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. The man said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. He replied, 'Jacob.' 'Then your name will no longer be Jacob,' the man told him. 'From now on you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name,' Jacob said. 'Why do you want to know my name?' the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there." Verse 30, "Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't mention or don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when Jacob strained the tendon, or the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Here's the deal. Here's what I want to sum up, okay? Jacob, guy, grandpa, religious, dad, well, not really religious. They really had a relationship with God. It was Abraham, Isaac. Jacob, not so much. Jacob was a little rat, ripped off his brother, little mama's boy, if you read the story. I would want to smack Jacob. Okay, I understand Esau. If you were there, ridiculous. Your little brother, little rat, you'd want to smack him too, okay? He goes off, though, runs away, ends up getting married, and his life is changed. He comes back, and at this point, things are turning around with his in his life, and he needs God. It said a man came who later on in the story we see is actually like the Lord shows up. An angel, the Lord, we don't know. Something is happening here. Okay? Could have been the Lord, could have been an angel of the Lord. We're going to call it God. God was at work in his life. He was wrestling with God. Now, is that ridiculous? If you think about it, can you beat God in an arm wrestling match? I mean, I remember Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. Stallone could not beat God in an arm wrestling match. So here we see that God lets Jacob win. Right? Because what is the point? Jacob was hungry for God and God's blessing on his life. He didn't want religion. He had religion. He needed God. If God is real, he wants God. He needs God. This fight went on all night long. He was hungry for God. Can you imagine fighting all night long? Okay? Like, you'd be tired, wouldn't you? I run up the steps 2 times and I'm out of breath. Anybody else? Imagine fighting all night long. He had a passion and desire for God. Where is your passion for God? Do we give God 5 minutes? Could we give God all night? Where's your passion? The other part of the story, which is neat, in order to get away from Jacob, says that the angel, the man, God, whatever was happening, like hit him, popped his hip out of socket. And Jacob went the rest of his life with a little bit of a limp, right? Here's why I think this is an important story. With us, when we've had an encounter with God, your walk will never be the same again. Do you get that? Maybe not your physical walk, but your spiritual walk. The way that you live your life, when you seek the Lord, it'll never be the same again. This is where religious people miss it. But when we seek God, He changes us. He fills us with His Spirit, and He ruins us for the world. He ruins us for the world. What do I mean by that? Because you see, there's 2 different standards in the world, really. There's God's way and not God's way. Religious people try to do the right thing to line up to do God's things God's way, kind of. You try on your own. When Jesus changes you and changes your heart, then you begin to desire God's things. Am I right? That the world is waiting for this new movie to come out that's going to change everything. And in your heart, you're like, it'll be $2 at Walmart next year. in the discount bin. Nobody's going to care. I want God. Understand? Your hearts and your desires are different. Because when God changes you, He changes your walk. Your walk is different. Anybody know what I mean by that, right? Anybody you've seen, like you used to care about stuff, and then God changes your life, and all the stuff you used to care about, you don't care about anymore. If you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you to seek Him. Seek His face. Amen? When you do that, when you're determined to seek God, listen, when you're hungry for God and nothing else will satisfy, when you get that hungry for Him, that's when you meet God. That's when God begins to work in your life and bless you. I just read a book the other night where a pastor was telling a story, and it really meant a lot to me. If you're a dad or a mom, you'll probably get this story. If you're not, try, but you're not going to get it as much. But the man was telling about how he was playing tag with his 6-year-old daughter. They were out back. And his daughter was trying to catch him. And the man said, "There's no way my daughter can catch me." Anybody have smaller kids? You know they can't catch you. I'm not even fast, and my daughter can't catch me. Because she could come at me, and you could just do a little sidestep, and go to get you, and you kind of turn around, you know. They kind of figure that whole juke thing out down the road. But she couldn't catch me. And I have longer legs. I can outrun her. I just can. So he said he's playing with his daughter, and she's trying to catch him and chase after him, and he just kind of plays around and doesn't let her get him. Till finally there comes a point where she looks at him, and she says, "Oh, Daddy." And she giggles. And when he sees those eyes, all of a sudden his heart changes. And the whole race changes. And he begins to chase after the little girl. And he begins to chase after her daughter. And the whole thing reverses. And he picks her up and gives her a kiss and gives her a tickle or whatever. That's what I would do. Anybody ever do that with your kid? Yeah, Olga says she's slow and they always catch her. Here's the analogy. The analogy is when we begin to seek and chase after God, can we really catch God? You can't catch God. If God doesn't want you to catch Him, there's no way you can catch Him. But here's the deal. At some point when we're seeking after God and we're trying to catch God and get a hold of Him, at some point when God sees our heart and sees that we really want to touch Him and we cry out, "Oh, Daddy," or "Oh, Father." At some point, listen, at some point, we turn the heart of God to us and He looks at us and says, "I love you, my child. I wanted to see if you really wanted me." And then God, who was the pursued, becomes the pursuer. And God embraces and catches us. And God holds us in His arms. If you're not really seeking God, you will never experience that. And it'll be religion, and you'll leave here the same, and you'll never get it. You'll never get it. And I'll sit here and pour my heart out to try and explain it to you, and you'll never get it because we're speaking a different language. Because I've seen God at work in my life. I've experienced the Lord. And I'm talking over here in God's standards, and you're in your own standards and in the standards of the world, and you're not even understanding how precious this is. You don't understand that we become alive when we spend time with God. I quote this verse all the time. Jeremiah 29 says this, "If you seek me, the Lord says, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart." If you don't care, you will not find God. And you will leave here the same, point blank. Okay? And I've given my life to this point to preach this gospel of Christ. I have. And I don't give me a medal because I don't care about that. I just love the Lord. And I want to share Jesus with you. Okay? But if you don't seek Him, you're not going to find Him. Because God said, if you seek me, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. That's a promise of Scripture. Are we seeking Him? Are we seeking Him? That's the difference between religion and Jesus. Jesus will show up. And guess what? If you've never experienced that today, and it just sounds like a religious thing, I promise you this. If you repent of your sins, and if you seek Jesus, if you really seek Him, and even if it takes all night, you seek Him, He will change you like He did with Jacob. Your walk in this life will be different if you allow Him to change you. And you will go back and you will tell your friends, if you're man enough to tell your friends. And they won't believe you either. Because you'll be speaking the new language of the things of God. And your old friends, they won't know. They just can't relate. Oh yeah, sure, God showed up, whatever. Like you can really measure that one, right? Like that's real scientific. God showed up? Mm-hmm, sure. But you continue living for Jesus and praying for your friends, right? And pray that they would see that you're different and they'll desire the Lord too. Amen? But I want to encourage you to seek Him. Here's the other point. He says, seek what? To seek my what? Face. Here's the other problem. When we're seeking God for the things He can give us, we're seeking His hands and we're not seeking His face. Did you hear that today? When we're seeking blessings from God, we're seeking His hands. We're seeking God the Father to pull out His wallet and say, here you go, here's my charge card. You want a house? Give me X amount of dollars and I'll buy you that house. Don't TV preachers make a living off of that? Because the people aren't seeking His face, they're seeking His hands. They want a handout from God. We give an offering to the Lord because God is good. Because God promises to bless us. But we give to Him because He's good and because we love Him. Primarily, because we obey Him, right? If you seek His face, if you seek to know Jesus for who He is and what He's done, and you go to prayer time, God, I'm seeking You. And I don't care about all this stuff. You know what we need, but I'm seeking You because I just want to know You more. The cry of my heart is to know You. When we do that, God shows up. And when we don't do that, He doesn't. Because we don't really love Him. Because we don't really want Him. Because we want to be as wicked and as evil as everybody who's going to hell. We just like to hang out at church. That's not good. We need to love Him for who He is. How do we get to that point? Here's my question for you, and I hope it pokes you in the heart. And I hope it really disturbs you. I really do. I hope you're broken and pierced over this question. Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love Him? Or do you just love the stuff He can give you? Do you just pray so He can protect you at night while you sleep? Or do you really love Him? Now, I'll be honest with you. I think throughout our entire lives, we should be asking ourselves that question. And I heard a pastor ask that question, and I was pierced. I'm your pastor, and I was pierced. I had to sit back and say, Lord, do I really love You? Or do I just love the call and ministry? Or do I just love the church? Or do I just love my family, and I love what You can do for my family? And to be honest with you, I think 30 years from now, I should be asking myself that same question. Lord, do I really love you? In fact, I think the Lord asks that of us, like he did Peter. Do you love me? Do you really love me? See, here's the deal. We live in a fallen world that's competing for our love, isn't it? It's competing for our love. And things in this world, some things are important, right? Taking care of our family, going to work, those things are important. But we need to be careful that they don't sneak up and overtake the love of Jesus in our life. We need to make sure we're not seeking His hand instead of His face. When we seek His hand, we become religious. When we seek His hand, it's boring and it's dull. When we seek His hand, no one's going to come to know Jesus. Because they're just seeking the hand of some false demon god of some other religion. But when we seek His face, and He shows up, it changes everything. This book, the Word of God, is powerful. It changes us. But what it should do is make us hungry for God. This should be like a roadmap or a love letter from God to us. But this is not God. This is a love letter from God to us. It tells us about God. It tells us how to find God. But this isn't God. This should make us leap off the page and into worship with the Almighty. Do you understand? This should give us a hunger for God. If right now you don't love Jesus, I'm not here to beat you up for that. If you're here and you say, I've been a Christian a long time and I'm not sure how my love is, to be honest with you, that should be every one of us today. Okay? It should be. If you're here and you're like, love for Jesus, check. If that's you, you're probably full of pride, which is the sin that had Satan kicked out of heaven. And God says that when we come to Him with our good deeds and our righteousness, He says they look like dirty, filthy rags in my presence. So if you're here, love for God, check. It's probably like nasty, soiled, dirty rags in God's presence. And we need to repent. We need to seek His face. Amen? We need to do that. We know that Jesus is the one that would satisfy. If you're a Christian, you know He's the only one that satisfies. If you're not a Christian today, honestly, I encourage you to seek Jesus. I do this not for the money. Okay. If you don't know, I've graduated from college, man. I could like get a job. I do this for Jesus because He's changed my life. I do. I love Him. If you're sitting here and you're like, I'm too intellectual to accept this Jesus stuff, I doubt that you're more intellectual or more, I guess I should say, logical than I am. I'm very logical. Calculus, all that stuff. And I don't mean like, look at me, I'm smart. I mean, I at least showed up for the class. I won't tell you my grade. Physics, got that. Discovery Channel, love the Mythbusters. I love science. But Jesus is real, man. The scientists miss it. I'm telling you, Jesus is real. I'm a logical guy, but when His presence comes on me, you can't add up like A plus B equals C. It's just the presence of the Lord comes upon you, and you're just speechless. God shows up, and He just changes your life. And He wants to change you. If you don't know Him, I encourage you to seek Him. And if you really seek Him, He will change you. If you know Him, and we know that Jesus is the answer, then can we act like it? Right? If we know that Jesus is the answer, is the church, let's act like it. Let's act like we really believe it. Can we do that? And seek Him. Can we do that? Seek His face. John Piper, and we're going to pray in like just a second here. The last thing I want to say is John Piper is a famous pastor. Good guy. He says this, okay? If you went to heaven and everything was there, all your friends and family are there and you're hugging them and you have a mansion, right? Streets of gold, no crying, no pain. If you have all that stuff, but Jesus isn't there, would you still love it? Think about that. If you could have all the stuff of heaven when you die, but Jesus isn't there, would it be okay with you? Would it be good enough? See, that's the difference between loving Jesus for who He is and loving Him for the stuff that He gives us. Our desire shouldn't be just no pain, although that's good. Our desire shouldn't be just heaven, although that's good. Our desire should be Jesus. We should say that I want to go and kneel before the King of all creation and just worship Him. And if you're honest, if that's not your heart today, I want you to begin to ask Jesus to make it your heart. You might be here today and it might have been a long time since you've thought these thoughts. It might have been a while. I want to encourage you to ask Jesus to give you that hunger and love. Get into His Word, and if you ask Jesus, He will begin to change you. Amen? He just will, honestly. He will change you. If you seek Him, you will find Him. If you don't, you won't. If you don't want Jesus, it's really hard. It's really easy to ignore Him. But if you seek Him, you will find Him. I want to encourage you, seek Him. I hope this message today, while challenging, I hope it challenges you. I hope it's a little bit disturbing. But I don't want it to end there. I want it to propel us to seek His face. Do you get that today? I want it to propel us. Because here, as I said, I think come back next week. But I think at this point, we'll pray about part four this week coming up. But when we do these things and we really seek Him, turning from our wicked ways, I think, is a whole lot easier to figure out what those wicked ways are. I don't think we know what we need to turn from until we spend time with Jesus and He reveals it to us. And then all of a sudden, things that we thought were okay, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and say, no, it's not okay. And He begins to change our lives. Okay, come back next week. Don't skip out just because I gave you the whole message in 2 minutes. But seek His face and we'll be prepared. Amen? But when we do that, the last part comes alive. I want God to hear you in 2010. I want Him to forgive you and your family, and I want Him to bring restoration in your lives. Okay? Promise from the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we love you today. Lord, we thank you for the Word today, God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the whole thing, Lord. But God, I pray right now for those that don't know you, Jesus, that you would draw them to you. Lord, that we would stop playing ridiculously stupid games with you. Lord, you know us, God, much like we can look at our own children and see that our children are just being ridiculous and they're just faking it. Lord, you look down from your throne of heaven and you can tell when we're just being silly. You can tell when we're mocking you and when we pretend we want you when we really don't. So, Lord, today we confess that sin of religion and we pray, Lord, that you would give us a hunger for you. And God, I know when we hunger after you, we will find you when we seek you with all of our heart. Give us a hunger for you. We ask all these things in the name of our King and our Savior. With every head bowed, I want to say this to you today. Let's continue to bow our heads. If you don't know Jesus, He wants to work in your life. If you don't know Jesus, now is your time to get right with Him. Do you know Him today? If you need to know Him, I want to lead you in a prayer. But we're not going to make this thing fake. I'm not here to count hands and put it in a book and feel good about myself. It's not that. Jesus is awesome. Heaven is real. Hell is hot. And we want to share the Word of God with you. And I want to see you come to know Him. If it's real. If you're here today and you want me to lead you in a prayer, I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I want to see your hand and I want to pray with you. If you're here today and you need prayer, you want to pray to get right with God, if you want to pray that lead you in a prayer for your new relationship with Jesus, if you're here today and you want to do that, I want to see your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see a whole bunch of hands. Hallelujah. Anyone else here today? Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. As I said, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you're making that commitment and you're surrendering to Jesus today, the prayer doesn't matter, your heart matters. I thank the Lord that we don't have words that we have to say every week. That would be religion. God wants your heart. So you can repeat after me, but I want to encourage you to mean it with your heart. Cry out to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love You. I know that I'm messed up. I know that I've sinned. And that sin is ugly in Your presence. And I know that You died on the cross. And You rose from the dead in my place for my sin. So Jesus, I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. And help me to live for You. And learn what it means to be a real follower of Christ. I surrender everything to You. And I look forward to my new life with You. I humble myself, Lord. I pray to You. I will seek Your face, and I will turn from my wicked ways. And thank You, Lord, for hearing from heaven, for forgiving my sins, and bringing restoration into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you just made that decision today, Jesus is working in your life. Do you hear me today? This is a good thing. This message today is a message of hope and joy and potential in Christ.